Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
And now, coming to you live from atop the Lavender Town Radio Tower, it's the one, the only, Puckle Podcast.
Pokemon Underground Champions League, oh yeah.
Puckle!
Welcome to another exciting episode of the Puckle Podcast. I am your host, Trainer Thatcher. Today with my wonderful co-host, we've got the one and only Lord Jushiro.
Ho, ho, hola everyone.
And we've got the wonderful, as always, R Sigma.
Merry, merry.
Oh yeah, I forget. This is the last episode before Christmas. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Yep. There's nothing next week.
Yeah, there's nothing. Well, unless you're a patron, but.
Yeah.
If you're a patron, I think we're going to have something up there, but. Yeah, there's nothing this week. There's nothing this week or next week. So yeah. Merry, or whatever you do celebrate. Happy Hanukkah, happy holidays.
Kwanzaa.
Kwanzaa as well. So yeah, but yeah, welcome to the Puckle Podcast. Puckle, of course, standing for the Pokemon Underground Champions League, a nonsensical name we came up with in 2007, where we talk everything Pokemon from the trading card game to the video game to everything in between. And boy, oh boy. Is there stuff to talk about today? I'm actually like really into this game right now.
Really nice.
The DLC made me so happy, actually. Like,
yes.
This DLC, more so than like any of the other prior DLCs, has made me very happy.
Yeah. There's critiques to be said, but there are certainly
critiques. I don't have anything that's like terrible.
No. I mean, and we'll discuss that in the main topic.
I don't want to talk it here because like this DLC is giving me feelings, you know? There's like a few minor criticisms I have, but I don't think it's the DLC's fault. I think it's Game Freak's fault. I just love this DLC. I've been jamming it out. So I mean, that's literally been like the last 2-3 days of my life has just been DLC.
Yeah.
I really enjoy it.
It's been a blast.
It was meaty too.
Yeah.
It's meaty too, which I actually really like.
It really is great considering the first one I felt was a bit shallow in content.
A little bit, yeah. So part of it is that they don't know where in the story you are. They just know you have a ride Pokemon, but they don't know what abilities you have. So traversal's kind of eh.
Yeah.
In the first one, so. And balance is weird. And
I wish that DLC, it's kind of like the Isle of Armor did a very good job. And this is, I guess we could talk more about this in the topic, but the Isle of Armor did it really well where like you could go back and forth. Like if you were in a playthrough to do Isle of Armor stuff, I feel like Kitakami's not very good that way in the Teal Mask. Like you want to digest that all at once, that story beat.
Right.
So it makes things slightly more difficult, but yeah. I don't know. Have you guys been doing anything other than DLC lately?
I mean, I've been shiny hunting all those stupid Flabebe.
Wow, that's a mission.
They pulled me in. I'm doing Milcery now, too.
Oh, my gosh.
I'm not doing the 63. I'm just doing, like, the 9.
Stop.
It's fine.
You're hurting yourself.
It's fine. The odds are so good on them, though.
Yeah.
It's hard not to.
1 in 200 is pretty good.
The thing is, like, you have Shiny Charm, it's like 1 in 180 or something like that.
Yeah.
So, two of the outbreaks I went to for Milcery had the Shiny in the first set of Pokemon there. Like, I didn't have to kill any of them to get there. So.
Oh, man, that's awesome.
Plus, auto battling does the BBQ oftentimes, so it works out.
That's for sure. I mean, I've honestly just been doing this DLC. I played some TCG earlier in the week. I was getting back into it. You know, I mean, I guess I haven't ever fallen out of it, but I just haven't been practicing nearly as hard since I've become a dirty local player, and I don't have any like events on the horizon, right?
I may have skipped like a week of playing live, and now I'm back playing it again.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, that's fun. So
I tried moving decks. I tried Gimmagool.
Yeah. Gimmagool is not good. It's not good.
I get paired up against the stupid Iron Valiant decks that just murder them. It's so sad.
It's still not that great of a deck anyway.
I think it's a cute deck. It just fails real hard when you're getting murdered by switch-ins.
Yeah.
It's like, oh.
Right.
And then they take extra turns and kill your second one. It's like, oh no.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
High risks.
Yeah, tell me about it.
But I think the deck's very cute.
It is a cute deck. It's the kind of deck
that I think might be better at post-rotation, but we'll
see. There's a few decks that are going to be better post-rotation, I think.
Not Cloth or Cloth.
No, Cloth will not be one of them.
I don't. It's so sad that Curry is somehow an E-regulation card that came out 3 sets into the F-regulation.
Yeah. I mean, it's not the end of the world. I'm sure we can get something new, like some new toy or something.
I mean, you can play Cloth. It's the Electrode that dies, but the Electrode's the good part, so...
Yeah, I think
it's the one that takes the one shot Charizards and
Just play Charizard.
Roaring Moon.
Just play Charizard.
I don't want to play Charizard. No Charizard.
Charizard's good. Charizard's fun. It works. It go burr. Like any Charizard will be fine.
Charizard will be fine.
Yeah.
Charizard will live on. It won't get to eat Mew's anymore, but it will live on.
I mean, Mew won't be around, but it doesn't matter.
Exactly. Mew's gone. See ya.
Thank God.
You won't be missed.
Thank God.
You did good things for a while, but you never went away, and that's the problem.
Yeah, I'm excited for Mew to be gone. I think the most, but that's still not until like April, right? Like we're still talking like April for rotation. So
yeah,
we're talking another 4 months of whatever we have now.
Yes, the meta will not be changing.
Yeah,
too drastically.
Yeah, I mean, Lost Box gets like kind of a bump with the shiny or Paldean Fate set. I think, right? Like, there's that
Cloth
one tool.
Gets a bump too, but yeah,
there's the tool for 280. So
there's the Moonlight Hill for Gardevoir, I guess.
Is that the set we're finally getting it in?
I assume so.
That's a bold assumption.
I mean, considering the spicy curry, who knows when it'll come?
Yeah, right. Right.
You would think it would come with the regulation F card, G cards? Are they G now? I don't know.
We're in G right now. I mean, it is regulation G in Japan, so it's going to come out as regulation G.
Regulation G whenever it shows up. So
yeah, I mean, there are some, I mean, Chilling Rain had like some random like D block cards in it, I think, even.
Yeah, well, that's what happened with the Spicy Curry and Astral Radiance.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, 2 sets later, we're getting an E and a G.
I don't know why. I don't understand why the international TCG sets are so weird.
I mean, they're just shoving sets together. Ace Specs will be fun, though.
Like, I really don't know why. Like, I really don't know. It depends on what the Ace Specs are. Like, I'm waiting for the reveal for Ace Specs before I make that call, right? Like,
I mean, I guess it depends on if they'll do more like G Booster, like tool cards that give Pokemon new attacks versus like universal items, I guess.
I think like a perfect example in the modern meta of the Pokemon TCG. So I skipped, like, for people's reference, Thatch used to play the Pokemon TCG pretty regularly from like 2016 to 2018. And then I took a break from like 2018 to 2021. And then I got drugged back into it. And one of the things I realized during that time was that, like, there's certainly power creep in the Pokemon TCG. And I'm not even talking just like about Pokemon HP numbers getting better, just like how powerful certain cards are. Mm-hmm. So like you look at the 2016 to 2018 meta, like we had things like Verse Seeker, which I think would absolutely just destroy the game now. Same with like Battle Compressor.
Battle Compressor was a broken card when it was printed, but yes.
A nerfed version of Battle Compressor is a supporter now. Like,
I was going to say, Battle Compressor and VS Seeker being in the same set is absurd.
Yeah.
Actually absurd.
Yeah. I mean, VS Seeker, though, I think is a really good example of what a good Ace Spec could be, though.
Oh, yeah. I agree with that.
I think a great Ace Spec would be VS Seeker.
I mean, we already had ones for items and...
Yeah.
Yeah, we had one for item. We had Computer Search. Or not Computer Search. The Dowsing Machine. Dowsing Machine. So, like, I could see one for a supporter.
I think it makes sense. But
yeah, VS Seeker would be so broken today.
Yeah. Yeah, no. There's a lot of trainer cards that would just be, like, way too good.
Yeah.
All right, well, I'm going to end us here because we're going to definitely talk a lot during the topic today. And
yeah, it's hard to dance around talking about this one. It's exciting.
I know, right? It's very exciting. So, all right, we're gonna kick it off here, guys, and we're gonna go to the news. So let's cue that epic music.
Coming to you live from the Lavender Town Radio Tower. This just in.
Welcome to the news. In the news, we've got a few things. First, Pokemon Forever and Pokemon Heroes are not available on iTunes, Amazon, and Google Play. And Pokemon made the announcement, right?
Yeah, it was on their Twitter account.
Yeah, wow. That's very weird. Because for those of you who aren't aware, I believe Miramax or something owns
I believe it's
Pokemon
Miramax.
Forever, Pokemon Heroes, the Groudon movie, and the Jirachi Groudon movie. Wishmaker, that's what it was called. And then Destiny Deoxys.
I wish all the movies had good names like Destiny Deoxys.
I swore you said Disney's Deoxys. I'm like, I have not seen that one.
That's pretty good.
Have you not watched Lilo and Stitch?
Yeah, right. Yeah.
Oh, yep.
But not, I wonder if they did get them back or something. I mean, I wouldn't be surprised since they're so old at this point.
It's been what, 10 years? Like
it's been a while. Not quite. Well, for Pokemon Forever, it's been 20 years for sure, yeah.
It's been 20 years for these two, I think.
I wouldn't be surprised if Miramax sold. Is it Miramax?
The contract ended. It is Miramax. It is Miramax, from my understanding.
Yeah, I don't know if it went back to them or what. I'm kind of confused. I don't know what happened.
Copyrights are always so confusing.
Yeah, I don't know what happened with it, but well, I guess maybe it came back. I don't know. Maybe it came back to them. We can only hope one day. In the United States, it was produced by 4Kids Entertainment and distributed by then Disney subsidiary Miramax Films, which would just then take over.
So it was Disney's Deoxys, yeah.
It kind of was. Yeah. Very weird. Okay. I wonder if that, like, if it's going back or something. Interesting. I mean, it's very low grade news, but it's fine.
You know what? Sometimes that's the
for the nostalgics of the out there. It's great news.
Yeah. Pokemon Company has also trademarked Poképark Kanto, Poképark Kalos, and Poképark Paldea recently. Mm. I find that interesting. I have theories that I really want to talk about during the DLC, so I'll kind of hold off here. But I heard about the Poképark Kanto thing, or they did something with Kanto recently. Kanto's also like a real place in Japan, so
yeah. Mm. It sounds like it might be related to like a theme park that used to exist. In 2000.
I know which one you're talking about.
2000 blah, blah, blah.
Yeah, 2000 something. Mm. But yeah, like
I remember
a little
this.
Bit
I remember
after
this.
The announcement of the Kanto trademark, Kalos and Paldea showed up in Europe. Mm-hmm. Europe has those trademarks, so Nintendo of Europe, specifically.
I remember those theme parks. I think there was one in France.
Oh, oops, I missed Galar. Galar happened too.
Oh, look at that. It's all Europe, all the time. I feel like this means that the next region is just going to be more Europe for some reason, instead of somewhere fun. Well, Europe's fun. I shouldn't say that.
But, I mean, it's
something
it's
different.
Not fun,
something different, right? Like, I want something different.
Well, it's been three generations now that we've been in Europe.
No, it's not.
Two. It's been two.
Two. Galar.
Well, it was broken. Kalos, I guess.
Yeah, but we broke that up. It wasn't in a row. Like, I don't mind going back to Europe. I just don't want to go to it in a row, if that makes sense.
Right.
And we already went to it in a row once. So,
yeah.
Like, we had Hisui in there. So,
yeah. For Gen 10, I would love to go back to Japan.
Like, I think that would be cool.
I think that would be very cool to just take a section of Japan we haven't done yet. To be fair, with Kitakami, they've kind of done a lot of it.
I was going to say,
I'm still holding tight for an Egyptian.
That would be cool too. That would be hype.
Would be amazing.
That would be hype.
I was thinking China for a Gen 10 would be kind of cool.
Oh, also too. Yeah,
maybe.
Like that would be a good time to break into China or Korea. Maybe I don't know. But China would be a really cool region, I think.
I would also like proper ore or something like that. You know what I mean? maybe. I'm really sad because ore, I think, has really just destroyed the possibility of getting a Western United States region.
Yeah, probably.
And it's kind of depressing and sad. Canada. Maybe oh. Canada or Mexico.
I was going to say, you could get Northwest, maybe.
Yeah.
Especially considering the Pokemon Company International has an office up there.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm kind of surprised we haven't had it yet.
Right?
But, yeah, right?
Right.
I mean, that hits home for Jushiro, but...
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah.
I would love to. I would love them if they would make, like, the Space Needle a gem.
Just Ohio. Right? They should like- just do Ohio. Just Ohio. Everything's just cornfields. Everything's the same. You can catch Patrat and Furfru, and that's it. And
I mean, as long as Furfru is back, right?
Furfru, we're missing five of these, or like six or seven of these boys, man. Like, it's
I think it's just, isn't it just the monkeys and Furfru?
It's
and
monkeys, like, it's monkeys, Patrat, and Furfru.
I mean,
that's
Furfru is the only one I care about.
I think there might be one more. I'd have to double check, but yeah, I think so.
Gen 5 remake happens at some point.
I'm gonna fight against you on this, actually. But
I'm not saying it's happening next. I think it happens at some point.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, for sure, at some point. I just don't know if it's gonna be when we're still on Switch, if that makes sense.
It might be Switch too. I think whatever the remake is coming to Switch, and whatever happens after the remake is on the next console. But we'll see.
We'll see. We'll see. All right.
Yeah.
Well,
but speaking of Switch and the game, you read my mind, Thatch. You can get a free Master Ball via mystery gift. There will be a mystery gift for an outfit item from Japan's anime later this week. There's also a Gimme Ghoul with the code CU1 in Padea. Well, you can go check it out.
Just see you in Paldea with all of the proper restrictions, right? Because there's no
with
I.
With the zeros
right.
and
you
the ones.
You can't use
the
I.
Eyes
yeah, you
those,
can't use the yeah. zero in the I. Yeah.
And then we have, there's probably some Christmas and or New Year's event we'll find out on Thursday by the time the current news end. So hopefully we'll have something fun there. And then, lastly, OU is trying out Darkrai, Deoxys Defense, Deoxys Speed, and Terrapagos.
It absolutely should, because OU is ridiculous now.
Yep.
Yeah, it's the new Uber.
Mm-hmm.
It looks like Darkrai might be fine.
Which tells you something. It really does.
Turns out 125 speed on a Pokemon with, like, next to no ability is probably okay at this point.
Yeah. All right. Well, let's wrap up with some Pokemon Go news.
Yay. There's two holiday events coming up.
Mm-hmm.
Holiday event one runs from the 18th to the 25th and introduces Citadel to the game. Yay, Citadel.
Yay. Citadel's actually really cute.
It is. It didn't do anything, but it is.
Citadel's cooler than Cititan.
It is.
It's just cooler than Cititan. I'll say it.
Also, on the 23rd, there will be a raid day for Weirdeer from 2 to 5 locally.
There should be, because they ruined it.
How so?
I mean, aren't you going
we'll
to go
it.
Find that
Let's
Hisui and Stantler?
We're going to talk about it later.
Okay.
There's a second holiday event. It's not as exciting as the first. It runs the 25th to the 31st, so when it ends, a New Year's event will begin. There's a costume Psyduck. I think there's a shiny boost for Psyduck. Who cares?
Yeah.
There's no new Pokemon. Whatever.
Yeah, yeah.
That's how I feel about an event with no new Pokemon. It's like, I'm sure there's something interesting for people in there, but.
Mm-hmm. All right. Well, that's pretty much it. Other than some Puckle news, on December 22nd for all of you, next weekend, Shark is holding an OU ladder on cart. You can actually play for 60 minutes if you play during this time with everybody. You should check out our Discord at PuckleDiscord.com for more details if you're interested in. There is a new annual survey, Sigma. I want to go through the questions, though.
it probably should get out before the end of the...
Probably. Yeah, it will. It'll probably. I will probably have it up by this time, but it will start in the Discord server. And then Puckle's Pokey Opinion. Do you consider Arch Aladon to be a pseudo? And my answer is definitively yes. I don't know why we're having this conversation.
I do, too. There's an argument, and a lot of people say no. And
it's
I'm
a
like,
bad argument. Hmm. They like the definition of being a pseudo legendary is do you have 600 base
fans
stats?
Fans made it. have you evolved? Right, like
yeah. Have you evolved and are you a 600 base stat total?
Otherwise, Landorus gets in the pseudo legend club.
Yes,
no. Landorus and Heatran don't get to join the pseudo legend club.
No, you're a pseudo legendary.
They're sub legends. They're sub legendaries.
Yeah, you're a pseudo legend though. If you
are a normal Pokemon with 600 BST.
Yeah, yeah, and
you don't have a.
That is Arch Aladon.
Exactly.
Oh, and if you're not slaking, yes, I do agree.
Yeah, I was going to say, if you don't have a a bad ability like Archaeops or it's lacking.
Or Truant. Yeah. Like,
yeah.
Yes, I agree with that. No, no. There's no debate. What do you think, Yashiro? Do you think it's a pseudo legendary? I mean, this is a fan made term anyway, essentially, but it's
not. Right. That's what I was gonna say. I mean, it's not
everyone complains
term,
it doesn't
so.
Have a it's not three stages, so it's doesn't
it doesn't matter. Who
like,
cares?
Yeah.
I'm like, no, who cares? It's a 600
BM. Yeah. People like to just keep things in the, it has to meet these requirements, but you're just yeah. saying you have to meet those requirements for these fan-made terms that really have no official descriptions.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So I agree. It makes the introduction of Duraludon so much, make so much more sense.
It does, though. Mm-hmm.
Because they introduced it as like this rival to Titar.
Yeah.
Which never it's was not mentioned in the games. It was all in the promotion material for Duraludon. Yeah. It's like
I do wonder if like Archaludon and the and like Diplin and stuff were very much so just like they were decided during Gen 8 or like right after the release of Gen 8. Right. And they're just like, oh man, we just missed the boat on that.
Right. Did they do the whole thing where they introduced the Pokemon before the generation in a movie or something?
No. That hasn't happened in so long.
Really? Oh, yeah. Man, I used to love that as a kid.
I know.
Don fan in the movie. Like, man, I've never seen that Pokemon Ho-Oh on the first episode of Pokemon.
No, the marketing in my, well, one, I don't know. So like, Jushiro, we're a different generation. I
liked Kecleon and Blaziken.
No, you're the same. You're part of the same problem, Sigma. Okay.
Now we have to deal with Melmetal.
We're killing napkins over here, and we're reminiscing about Pokemon movies releasing Pokemon before they came out. And
to be fair, part of that is because Gen 4 was delayed beyond.
Yes.
But like, they wanted the marketing, but they didn't have the games to market.
Yes.
Weavile got to be in everything. Lucario.
Munchlax. Like, Bonsly.
Munchlax. Yeah.
But I love that Bonsly and Munchlax both made it into a video, like a 3D video game before their actual game came out. Yeah.
I remember them being like trophies in the Mystery Dungeon game too.
Yep. It's fine. No, I do miss that kind of promotion, though. That was my favorite kind of promotion for Pokemon.
Yeah.
But I don't think the kids get their news the same way anymore.
No.
So, I mean, we get our anime a year after Japan does at this point, so.
Yeah, this is ridiculous how long that's taking, by the way. I hate that.
I have many complaints about that. That is absurd.
Yeah. All right. Well, I'm going to end us here, and we're going to go over to Puckle's Poke Quiz, where we're going to quiz our co-host on their insane Pokemon knowledge.
Oh, hi, and welcome to the Poke Quiz, the part of the show where we quiz our co-hosts on their insane Pokemon knowledge. I'm Mark from the Dunsparce Gang, here to explain the rules. Our fabulous co-hosts will work as a team to answer 5 Pokemon-themed trivia questions that fans have submitted on the Discord server. Each question is worth 1 point, with Pokedex and multiple answer questions worth more, for a total of 7 points. The host can use a free hint at any time. If they get all the answers correct and do not use the hint, they can cash it in for an 8th point.
Welcome to Trivia. Thank you for that introduction. Our first question this week, guys, is going to come to you from Mull Coffee. What Pokemon is categorized as the Hermit Crab Pokemon?
I would hope it's Dwebble or Crustle, one of the two.
Yeah, I mean, I don't see any other option.
I would hope so. Oh, wait.
What?
Wait. Is it Slowbro?
No. Okay. Hermit Crab? No.
It sounds dumb, but okay. Yeah, okay. We'll go with Crustle. We'll hope Crustle. It's Dwebble or Crustle.
Crustle is unfortunately incorrect. The answer is Slowbro.
What?
Knew it. I knew that was something that haunted
Slowbro.
Me.
It is Slowbro. Well, think of it. Gen 1 was very inconsistent with its classification.
It is very... It doesn't make sense.
Blastoise is the shellfish Pokemon. It's a turtle.
Oh my god. Okay. Wow.
I wasn't 100%, so I didn't push it.
Yeah, Slowbro and Crustle are actually known as the rock hand and the... Brock in and the Stone Home Pokemon, respectively, like in as an I and N. So, yeah.
I'm disappointed, but yes.
Also a note below sense. From the Trivia Master Liger. Slowpoke trivia is a surefire way to get Liger to pick your trivia. Which checks out. All right. Well, our next question is going to be from Chief Pancake. In Ruby, Sapphire, and Emerald, two types had exclusively beautiful contest category moves. What are the two types?
Oh, snap.
So part of me wants to say fire and water. Those were pretty commonly beauty Pokemon, beauty moves. So
what about grass, petal dance, or stuff like that?
I think grass fell under... Grass might have fallen under smart a lot of the time.
Okay.
I think. But fire, water, I know are relatively high beauty moves.
Right.
At least in BDSP. I assume it'll be the same for back then, too. So.
Then, yeah. I mean, I can't think of any.
Yeah, right? Like, I know those two were commonly beauty. Electric might be the other one, but I think that one might be in smart, too. So.
Right.
All right. So which ones are we going with?
We'll start with water.
Well, I need both answers at the same time.
Water and fire.
Yeah. I'm going to give it to you. Water is incorrect, but fire is correct. And I feel like that's better than I expected anybody else to get. The answer is fire and ice.
There's like no ice moves. So that makes sense.
There's like ice beam and aurora beam or whatever. So there you go.
Right.
There's maybe five ice moves.
Ice ball made it in there too.
Ice ball, haze.
Yeah, yeah. All right.
Icicle spear might have been the thing then. I don't know.
Well, you're one for two. And your next question is your Pokedex entry question, as always. This one is going to be from Albatross and Eagle. It's Ultra Sun entry reads, they move in small groups, walking around lazily. Anyone who makes eye contact gets smacked with a headbutt. Who's that Pokemon?
Grabbing ropes.
So, Scraggy would be my go-to for the headbutting. Right. I'm pretty sure it's an Ultra Sun, so that works.
Yeah.
And I think they walk in groups lazily. That sounds about right, so.
Yeah. Yeah, it checks all the boxes there.
So, Scraggy is our first pick, I guess.
Scraggy is correct.
Oof.
Is correct. Nice. 2 points there. So, here you're we go.
We're back
for three.
In it. We're back in it.
Yeah, the second entry we had for that today is that Pokemon X entry reads, its skin has a rubbery elasticity, so it can reduce damage by defensively pulling its skin up to its neck. All right. Well, you guys are three for three. Your next question is your multiple answer question. As always, you guys can get up to 3 points on this question.
Okay.
This one is from Wyatt. There are five answers here. And you know what? I'm going to need all five for 3 points. Every first point is going to require two answers. Second point is going to require two answers. Third point is just going to require the final. And this one is, it's from Wyatt. So if you don't know Wyatt, he really likes Pokemon Go. So there are five special lure modules in Pokemon Go. What are they?
Yo, I might know this. So there is the magnetic one.
That is correct.
The grassy one?
It's not called grassy.
Oh, mossy lure.
That is correct. Yes. I'll give you a strike for the grassy, though. You got to be careful on these names.
Oh, no. I don't know for sure if it's a rainy.
Rainy?
The rainy lure.
The rainy lure is correct. That is three of them.
So that's three of them. There's an ice lure of some type because Glaceon's a thing.
Right. I don't know what its name, though. Snowy lure?
Right. The ice. It's either icy or snowy, I would think.
It's neither.
Oh, no.
But you're close enough. There's an icy one. Glacial lure, oh, yes. Okay.
Glacial.
There's one more lure, so that's 2 points. You got four of them.
I think this one doesn't evolve things because it's probably the golden lure for Golden Goes.
Golden lure.
Here you go.
There you go. There is all five of them.
I don't feel bad for not knowing Glacier Lure. Glacial lure as
you guys. You guys are at 6 points. As always, your last question is your base stat question. As always, this question comes to us from that Steve kid. We talked about Steve. Serial legendaries earlier in the news. So, which first stage pre-evolution of a pseudo legendary Pokemon has the lowest base stat total?
Oh no!
Oh,
well, it's not Duraludon. I can tell you that.
It could be.
Oh, I didn't put that in the news. Duraludon was banned from Little Cup. Oh,
I no. believe that. Shocking.
Shocking, I know. I'm sure we needed that in the news. So, Goomy comes to mind.
Right.
Goomy. Dreepy. Oh, it's probably Dreepy.
That's the one I was thinking about.
Dreepy
yeah.
has nothing going for it looking at it. Right. It is an ammunition.
It is feed, Pokemon feed.
Like, my guess would have been Goomy, but yeah, no, Dreepy exists. I don't think it's... Beldum could be there. I think it probably has good enough stats to get there, but...
I was going
to
say, I think it has good defense.
I think it
stuff.
Has better stats than Dreepy, probably. Yeah. I don't know. No one uses a Beldum because it has one move, but...
Right. So, Dreepy?
I'd be fine with Dreepy.
Yeah.
Dreepy is correct with a base stat of 270. The rest of them, I believe, have 300, with the exception of Frigibax, who is at 320.
Oh, look at him.
Yeah, look at that guy. So that gives you 7 points today. So that does change up the standings. Let me change it up here.
Not in a way earlier. That matters, but it does change.
Might. You don't know.
I mean, okay, fair. Jushiro's on like right after Shark, so if Shark can't get it, Jushiro could.
In a race to 40, in first place, we've got Seth Vilo with 38. In second place, Linian with 36. In third place, Sigma with 35. In fourth place, Shark with 34. In fifth, Whimsicott and Shamu with 32. Ooh. In seventh, we've got Jushiro with 30. In eighth, we've got Sublime with 27. In ninth, we've got Mark with 20. And in 10th, we've got Cloud9 with 12, but that's only because he hosts when I'm gone. And so I totally could have the points when he hosts. So he doesn't
actually,
take
it is over next time because Seth's doing, and if they get zero, that would actually be just kind of fun.
That would be really funny, actually. I don't think that we've ever had that.
I would probably laugh.
I don't think we've had that.
I think there's been one-pointer games. A one-point game could happen.
It could happen.
But Shark's there, so, you know.
So it won't happen is what you're telling me.
They'll be smart enough to use it on, like, the multi-point question and get there.
Yeah. All right. Well, that's it. If you guys want more Puckle's Poke Quiz, you can tune in next week, or not next week, but the week after next for another episode of the Puckle Podcast.
Next year.
I think it airs next year.
I think this is the last. This is the last episode, 2023. Would you look at that? Yeah, it comes out on New Year's Day. Wow. Okay. Well, would you look at that? All right. Well, yep. We are going to go ahead and kick it on over then, guys, to the topic.
Hey, everyone. Make sure you make it on over to the Puckle League this week over on our Discord server, PuckleDiscord.com. Shark Finnegan is going to be holding a OU tournament on cartridge. So if you want to have fun and have a good time doing it, go ahead over to the Discord server. Additionally, if you have one of the more creative teams, there are rules on the Discord server, and you might be entered into a way to earn a $20 eShop gift card. So make sure you head on over and you hang out and just play some Pokemon with us. Until next time, though, guys. Have fun and rock it on for the topic of the episode.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life.
Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Welcome to the topic I no longer have to beat around the bush when talking this episode. Today we're going to talk about Indigo Disc. I do want to give some slight spoiler warnings. I'm sure we'll spoil something along the way discussing it. It isn't that long, but it's definitely longer than Teal Mask.
Yes. Mm-hmm. It feels like it has more content.
Yeah, no. So like my very first initial impression is that the Dex just feels better than previous installments. Like the one that really got me.
It's weird. The Dex is a weird part for me.
The Dex is weird because a lot of it's starters, right? Like 30 of its starter, like a third of its starters.
A third of its starters. 71 of it. Yeah. Like 71 or 72 starters, I believe, are in there.
I haven't caught any of the starters yet. Do I have to spend the blueberry points for that?
You have to collect 3,000 for each area.
Oh, that's so much.
It's not bad if you do multiplayer. Multiplayer blueberry points get.
Okay. I haven't done that yet.
Collected so quickly. Yeah, you got to do it in multiplayer.
Okay.
I did it with Dennis last night and we got like 6,000 in an hour.
Oh, that's not too bad.
And that was just two people. So if you're in a group of three or four, you can get points real quick. And you need to do the quests anyway to unlock legends. So it's fine.
Yeah.
Which is, I believe they unlock music. So that's why you get the legends. Not because you need them.
Yeah.
unless it's Kabu. You could always use another.
I did hear for the legends, that since some of them are version exclusive, that if you play with somebody, with the opposite version, you can grab their legends as well. Or am I hearing incorrectly?
The way it works is there are a handful of common legends that you can get from solo quests, regardless, which are like Kubfu, the legendary birds, and then there's version exclusive ones that you can get through the group quests. Because there's also some that you can only get through group quests like Kyurem and Rayquaza.
Mm-hmm.
So the group quests give you the other version exclusives and the like third legends, like Necrozma, Rayquaza, things like that.
Sure.
So you have to do multiplayer to get all the legends anyway.
I don't know. The decks just felt better to me, like walking in and being like, oh man, there's just so many more things to catch. Like the thing that grinded my gears the most.
It is deceptive, though, because
it's slightly deceptive. I still count like the getting the starters as
well. It's not just the starters. You also have to get like the Alolan forms of the same Pokemon you have already. Things like that.
No. Which I actually enjoy that.
I like it, but it is deceptive because that means they didn't add that many more Pokemon.
Yeah, but I still like it. It makes the decks feel better.
Like, it is nice walking in and having only, like, 60 to 70 Pokemon caught instead of the 100 that you had in Kitakami. You already had half the decks, so.
Yeah, I just feel like such a basic person when I say things like this, but I really like catching Pokemon in Pokemon games.
Oh, I agree.
Well, that's the whole point of it.
It's like half the game.
Filling the decks is a very satisfying feeling.
It's a very satisfying feeling.
People think it's battling, but it's really just catch. I mean, battling is the huge part, but catching, to me, is like the feature of Pokemon.
Yeah, catching feels really good. Watching the dex entry register itself.
Oh, I love it. Very satisfying, yeah. And I agree, the whole having the regional, having its own Pokemon, I was pleasantly surprised when I caught my first Alolan Exeggutor.
I agree with you, Jushiro. I agree with you because I think having their own entries is very important. And they've been actually very good about it this game. Like, all of the regionals are here. They have Hisuimons. They have Hisuimons. They've got, which Hisuimon are they missing? Are they missing somebody? I mean, they're missing like a couple of Alolan Mons.
I was going to say they're missing Weirder. They're missing Weirder and they're missing Alolan Raichu.
I'm very confused by their decisions with a lot of the Hisuimons still, if that makes sense. Like, it really does bother me. I think it's done very poorly. This is the thing that probably grinds my gears about this DLC the most. So, like, we could get a lot of the Hisuimons in through home, before this, right? Like, Quillfish and Overquill were both in the code. And Hisui and Quillfish is in the Blueberry Dex.
I was shocked to see that thing floating around.
Yeah, no, when I saw it, I was like, did they come up with a way to evolve it? Because you originally, before Indigo Disc, you can't evolve Hisuian Quillfish in Scarlet and Violet. You had to send it back to PLA and evolve it there. And so they gave it to us, and they did change it. They made it so just as long, instead of, you know, using the move strong style, using Barbarage strong style 20 times.
Just know it.
You could just know it.
Just know it and level up.
And you become an Overquill. Wow, that's a fantastic upgrade. You know what? You know who has a similar evolution method to that? Stantler and a Weirdeer. Stantler just needs to know Psy Shield Bash. Maybe he'll evolve. No, we didn't make that change. That would make sense.
Yeah. I saw the Hisuian Quillfish, and I'm like, oh my god, they fixed Quillfish. Like, I even posted in the Discord. I'm like, oh, they actually fixed him. And then I looked up Weirdeer, and I'm like, oh.
They did not fix Weirdeer. It upsets me. It upsets me because, like, they had the lore is that, like, Stantlers are weaker or whatever now, and they can't evolve into Weirdeer. But my internal canon for that, and it is my internal canon, is that they just forgot how to use Psy Shield Bash, which is something that a stronger Stantler could do.
And if they can learn it, they should be able to become Weirdeer again, but you know.
And they were actually really smart about how they implemented Psy Shield Bash into Scarlet and Violet.
Because it's an egg move.
It's only an egg move that Stantler can learn by breeding with a Weirdeer or another Stantler that knows it.
Mmm.
You could get it by transferring your Weirdeer in. But they decided, no, we're gonna just not let it evolve. And even more frustratingly is Kleavor's in this deck. And Black Augurite is not in the game. And what's even worse is the place where you can catch Kleavor. Because there's a wild Kleavor.
Looks like Black Augurite's just sticking out of the ground.
There just looks like Black Augurite's everywhere. And I believe the dex entry, let me pull it up, the dex entry for Kleavor that's in Blueberry Academy also just expands upon it, about how it's not like an ancient Pokemon anymore. It's so frustrating. Let me find it.
I'm just happy they put Scissor in the wild now, too. But
no, here it is. Here it is, Scarlet. Parts of its body turned into stone when it evolved, thanks to an extremely rare ore found in volcanic areas.
No, it's extremely rare ore, yeah.
Come on. Come on, Game Freak. Where's my Black Augurite? Where's my Black Augurite? Force me to trade my like, I still, like, I'm okay with it being a trade evolution, just like Scizor, with the Black Augurite, instead of just letting me, like, use it, right?
Yeah.
Man, that is the number one most frustrating part about this DLC to me, is, like, they fixed some things, but obviously ignored others.
To be fair, they at least gave you Kleavor, and because they didn't give us regular Ursaluna still.
They did at least give it to us. No, they did it, which is also... I'm so confused by what they are trying to do with these Hisuimons.
Like, it should have just been in the wild in Blueberry Academy. Why not? But here we are.
It's possible that the ones that they have in, they are waiting for some sort of raid event to just...
Maybe. It's not the same, though.
It's not the same.
Speaking of Arceus, I totally forgot that Overquill was a Pokemon.
That's okay. That's because it wasn't like, I think it was a boss, wasn't it? Maybe?
No, it wasn't. So Overquill, there's a couple of Hisuimons that just aren't mentioned anywhere.
That exist and don't.
Well, so there's like 10 of them. There's 10 of them that we all remember, right? Because 10 of them, 5 of them were like.
They were the Warden Pokemon.
And then the other 5 were the Ride Pokemon. And so we remember those 10. But then there's also like Hisuian Goodra. And Hisuian Sligoo.
Goodra was a boss, though.
What do you mean it was a boss? It wasn't a...
So, during the end phase, where you had to go to the 3 lake spirits, you had to battle bosses there.
Oh, yes. You are correct.
Goodra was a boss.
Hisuian Zoroark.
Zoroark was a boss, and I don't remember the third. I wasn't sure if it was Overquill or not.
It wasn't Overquill, was it?
I don't know. I know there was another boss, though, so I don't know.
Okay, I forget, then.
It was forgettable because it was just a boss once, but yeah.
Yeah, forgettable. Those are forgettable events. So, like, there's just, like, a few of them that just weren't one of those 10, and so we just forget them collectively. And Quillfish is one of them.
Yeah, no, it came out on one of those rage fights, and I'm like, what is this Pokemon? And I saw it, and I was so confused. I'm like, is this a new Pokemon from the DLC? Am I missed? Because, you know, I kept myself not... But no, and then you guys helped me realize that it was Arceus. It was Hisuian.
Well, also, like, Hisuian Quillfish just isn't a Pokemon you find on a standard playthrough of Arceus. Like, you have to go exploring for it and find it.
Yeah, never 100 completed Arceus, so.
It's fine. Yeah, no, it's, I'm just very frustrated by the lack of just letting us evolve Pokemon that we know evolve. Like, I'm very frustrated by it.
Mm-hmm.
It's one of those things where, like, they're going to do it now, but I guarantee you in, like, 2 or 3 years, they're going to be like, oh, you can do it now, and it's going to be, they're going to make a slightly big deal about it.
Right, because it's going to be very, very difficult to keep track of this as we progress through the time.
No, it's, they will eventually give up. We're still just on Scarlet and Violet, which is one game after, and they will give up. Like, I guarantee you the next game that Meltan's in, we're going to have an evolution method in-game to evolve into Melmetal.
Probably.
I guarantee it.
I'm surprised it didn't make it in this game.
I'm actually shocked. I'm actually shocked that Meltan is not in this game. Yeah, I am actually shocked by that.
The Kalos legends are the biggest shock to me, but...
Okay, so hear me out. So this segues nicely into a lot of things I've noticed. So it's very clear. Everybody tells you that the Blueberry Academy is
in Unova. What?
Is in Unova. And honestly, at least 3 of the Elite Four members are definitely related to a gym leader in the game, in Unova. Like
2 of them explicitly.
2 of them explicitly. Crispin is obviously the son of Chili, right? Like, there's just no doubt.
Interesting.
I could see them being related, yes.
Yeah, they're at least related. Like, maybe it's his nephew. I don't really care. But, like...
Right.
You don't make a fire-type gym leader who's really into cooking or in Unova.
Right, right.
Yeah. When you have that group of those guys, yeah.
Yeah, and then Lacey, it's pretty much... It's all but said that she's the daughter of Clay.
She has the same gemstones on her little hair clips. She uses Excadrill.
Yep.
As her signature Pokemon.
And then there's Drayton, who looks exactly like Drayton, so...
Yeah, I don't know. I assume he's grandson, not son, but, you know, we'll see.
No, it's the grandson of...
They're related, that's all.
It's actually stated.
Oh.
When you talk to Hassel, your grandfather Drayton informed me that you were forced to repeat a year of school several years in fact. So I just want to point that out, because Shamu fought me for a very long time saying it's probably not, they're not related, just because they're the same type and the same, almost the same name.
And have the same name, yeah.
Almost have the same name. And I was just like, I'm like, there's just no way. Yeah, Clay is the father.
They were related. I knew they were related in some way. I didn't know how yet.
Lacey reveals that Clay is her father during a chat with Nimona.
I mean, I was going to say, we learned that pretty early on, too. Like the...
Yeah, we also... It's just told. It's essentially... You can figure it out.
As the DLC starts, the guy who brings you there, Cyrano, is like, yeah, she's the daughter of a gym leader in Unova. It's like, oh, okay.
Yeah, and it's Excadrill, and you're like, oh, so it's Clay.
Yeah, it's like, yeah, okay, we got it.
Amaris doesn't have anything explicit, but, like, I wouldn't be surprised if it, you know, if she had some...
Was Lenora?
Yeah, like related to Lenora somehow, or and then Crispin again, Chili. Like, there's no way
it should be.
There's no way. Come on, that has to be what's going on.
That said, I really like the Elite Four characters, though. They're fun.
No, the characters are done very well.
Yeah, I was gonna say, let's talk about them per se as characters and how amazing they are in personality wise.
Like, Drayton's really fun.
Drayden is super fun. I love Crispin, mostly because I really, he really spoke to me as a character.
I hated Crispin's trial, but I do. Crispin was fun.
Right. Crispin himself, right. The character, his personality, that being the guy who's.
I had no problems with any of these trials. I thought all of their trials were interesting in their own ways.
It took me a long time to figure out onions were spicy.
I did not care if the onions were spicy. I just put them on there.
I did not put them on there, and I was taking things off before I started putting onions on. I failed that.
I just figured everything I had left over after doing all of the things was what was supposed to go on the sandwich. That was my assumption.
I assumed I had to make a choice on something not being spicy, so I didn't put the onions on, and I just kept failing it because I'm like, okay, well, maybe the chorizo isn't spicy. The jalapenos are definitely spicy. Mustard should be spicy. Chili is definitely spicy. So it's like,
Yeah, onion is the spicy vegetable.
I guess. I don't agree.
Or fruit? I don't even know what that is. Anywho, yeah, so Crispin, I love just his personality. I think it just reflects a lot on me. I'm that type of guy.
Lacey is fun. I always love her going... Making the X with her hands, it's like, no, stop.
I love it. She's so Gen Z with the whole, like, you know, boundaries thing. That I just love her personality a lot. I guess the only one that I have not much to say, is the Steel.
Yeah, Amorous. Yeah.
Yeah. She's kind of like, don't have much of a personality yet, but I haven't really encountered, to be clear, I've only gotten.
She's more stoic and reserved, I found. So it's a, takes a little bit more to learn about her, but
mm-hmm.
She did give me Infinite Flight. So I like her a little bit.
So I've only gone through one Elite Four, so I haven't experienced the whole DLC yet. So far, the characters are A+. Honestly, I'm just enjoying a lot the story behind them and what, you know, their motivations and stuff. So far, so good. I haven't finished it. I'm enjoying that. I want to speak a little bit about the things that I'm kind of like from this DLC. Number one is, why is it so glitchy?
In which way? Like, what do you mean glitchy?
So, the mud pool is a special kind of glitchy.
Are you just talking about Scarlet and Violet? Because Scarlet and Violet has been glitchy the entire time.
Maybe. It could be. It's just be that.
I am honestly shocked at this point that, I mean, one, it is better than it was at launch. The mud pool is pretty much what the lake used to be. It's what the lake used to be, it feels like, but they've updated and fixed the lake.
Do not touch the mud pool. Do not touch the mud pool. The weird thing about the mud pool is the one you can swim in is fine. The one you can walk in kills the Switch.
Yeah, I don't know what's going on with that. It's very odd.
And they put it right at the start, and I don't understand.
Well, maybe that is. Maybe it's the mud pool. But I did experience high lag.
The mud pool specifically just breaks the Switch.
That one's really bad. The mud pool is really bad.
Right, and then I got into a raid fight where the text was in the middle of the screen instead of below.
You're just, I this isn't a DLC thing. This is literally just a...
This is not a DLC thing? Well, I've not experienced it till now. That's why I'm surprised, because...
Something I was shocked at is that the camera is really bad with double battles.
Yes.
In the wild, you're not getting all four Pokemon on screen in a good angle.
It's been really bad in general since, like, honestly, even, like, with, they did like an update for the camera angles for VGC not too long ago.
I was going to say the camera angles against the Elite Four were fine, right?
Ever since that update, it's just been weird. Cause like, even when I was playing, I was doing some laddering on stream the other week and it was just not behaving at all. Like the camera angle was just garbage.
The camera angles are a little better when you're in like a stadium setting or like a field setting. But when you're out in the wild, it just doesn't work.
Do you guys have that problem with when you hit the right thumbstick to center the camera, it doesn't do it sometimes?
It does not do it.
Okay, I thought it was my controller getting messed up? What's going on here? Okay, I just wanted to be clear. Well, maybe it is a fact that I'm just complaining about Violet and Scarlet. But I do have to say, it is the first time I have to admit, not the lag, but every time I've experienced the lag in the normal game, there's always been something that I'm like, yeah, the Switch is not handling it well, because, I mean, either it's a real big panoramic view or there's a lot of Pokemon or something, and I'm like, yeah. But then I started this DLC, and immediately, I guess it's because that mud pool that that you come across in the beginning,
yeah,
completely made it lag, and I'm like, whoa, this is like intense lagging.
The mud pool is not emblematic of the entire experience. The mud pool is a special case of just being awful. Specifically the mud pools that you walk in.
And then maybe, and since you guys have gone farther in the DLC than me, the terrarium is nice, but I feel like it doesn't have much personality yet.
It has a couple places that are cool, like Charlestown Cave.
Which is odd to me, because like geographically, I don't know how that makes sense. Unless it's like in the bay, unless Blueberry Academy is like in the bay just south of it, you know what I mean?
I would assume they just recreated it in some way, but I don't know.
Yeah, I also the fact that Charlestown Cave is in this game really makes me feel, this is something I've been wanting to talk about, it makes me feel like Gen 5 remakes just aren't happening yet.
But I've always thought it was going to be like Gen 4 versions of Gen 2 remakes next, but hopefully, but
that's what I think there's a very high likelihood that we get like a HeartGold Soul Silver remake. I think that's
what I'm hoping for.
I hope for that as well. I think that is desirable, at least for me. I would like, if you're going to make a, if you're, they want to make like a direct remake. That's what I would do. Honestly, I would love to see the same treatment that we kind of got with Diamond and Pearl, where you get a HeartGold Soul Silver and then you get a Legends game based on HeartGold Soul Silver.
Mm-hmm. I mean, I would be okay with getting like a Legends Black and White combined with a Gold and Silver remake. But yeah, no, I understand. Ho-Oh and Lugia deserve something too.
I will preach until like the cows come home, man, that I think that a lot of the success of Legends Arceus is due to BDSP. Like, I think BDSP was the warm-up for Legends Arceus, and almost somewhat required, so that you were familiar enough with the region so that when you went back in time and you saw the older version of it, you could make all those connections much easier because you had just experienced the old ones, right? The originals. This is very personal and a thought for Thatch, but that's what I was thinking.
I think that's reasonable. As long as it's not 2 months apart again, like that needs at least 6 months, right?
I don't know. Like, the 2 months was fine. I feel like I think the problem was,
I think the big game should be the November game and not a January game.
I just don't think they set up. I don't think they set up proper expectations. Well, they probably did, but they don't understand their fan base because they didn't set up proper expectations of their fan base.
Mm-hmm. I don't think that's possible, but yeah.
You're not wrong, right? Yeah, I just don't think they set up proper anything with their fan base about whether or not what they should expect, right?
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's a big problem, because, and I hope it's something that gets solved in the near future.
BDSP, my problem with that game was the Pokédex was just terrible.
It was a one-for-one remake for the most part.
They tried to help you out with the Underground. Like, I liked having a Houndoom. That's about it.
Yeah.
But yeah, no, it needed like a little bit of changing, and HeartGold Soul Silver remakes would need the same kind of thing, but
yeah, I'm kind of hoping that happens. But yeah, they playing through this game, I'm like, oh, they're showing off a lot of Unova love that I feel like if they were to announce a Unova remake next year, that it just feels too soon. You know what I mean?
Mm. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I don't think Kitakami gives you that same respect as this does to Unova for like the rest of, you know, gens 1 through 4, their regions, just because it doesn't give you as many callbacks to what those regions really had. So I don't know. I find it very interesting. I really think it does set us up for something that's not Unova in 2024.
Well, I do have to talk about something in the DLC that I deeply enjoy, because it's something that you guys have heard me say this multiple times on the show, that one of my things that I wish Pokemon would add is a option to just pass the game in double team.
Yeah, that's true. All the battles are double battles.
Right. I've always asked for that. This DLC gave it to me, and I'm so happy. I love double battles, even though I don't play it much because I don't play VGC, but I just feel double battles provide more opportunities for awesome combos that you just don't do when it's single.
No, you are absolutely correct. There's a ton of moves in Pokemon that are useless outside of double battles, like Helping Hand.
And I've always thought, like, why can't we just have a full game?
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of abilities that are garbage. You are absolutely correct. I know, I really enjoy this. Like, I have to say, like, the difficulty of the Blueberry League is very good.
Yes,
it is.
It's not like a normal Pokemon game where you can just kind of roll in with anything and be high enough level and crush it. You have to think, you have to plan, or you will not beat them.
Even with a level 100 team, you still need to be careful because you might get wrecked.
Like, EV training is something that you might have to actually consider EV training, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's absolutely insane.
I mean, their Pokemon are EV trained, so yeah.
So I really wish, again, I don't want to take away the single battles for those that enjoy. I know that that's the popular mode. So everyone loves singles because that's how we grew up. That's the original, you know, Pokemon taste. But I really like Flaming Hot double battles. And I really hope that, I don't know how, maybe in the next generation, give me an option. Just if it's possible, or at least more opportunities to play doubles, because just I just feel as it's just such a better battle experience for me, and it, like you said, it makes it more challenging. It gives you more opportunity for strategies.
Absolutely.
All in all, I just love double battles, and I really hope this is a theme that they continue on. If they can't give me a whole game with double battles, just do this. Give me more DLCs with double battle.
It was a nice way to differentiate the DLC from the like main game.
Yeah, no, I mean, I've really enjoyed this DLC. This DLC has, like, ticked a lot of boxes for me. I also am just, like, a sucker because this is the one that finally gave us, like, some Area Zero growth. I still don't know how I feel about Carmine and Kieran. I really wish we would have just got... They're okay, but, like, I'm kind of upset that they, like, they wanted you to go adventure in Area Zero, right? They want you to go adventure in Area Zero, and they're just like, how about Drayton, Thatch, Carmen and Kieran go? And I go, okay, but like, guys, we know there's like three other guys that won't be the first time, right? And then you even talk about them when you get there.
Yeah, and then they're like, but you didn't get permission. That's what a champion do.
Yeah, I do like the answers they give you that. Because like the first one, they're just like, yeah, it looks like you became the Blueberry League champion and everything. You're just like, that's what a champion do. And they're just like, but then you went to Area Zero without permission. That's what a champion do?
Do?
That got me. That got me. That dialogue got me.
It was great. The dialogue is top notch. I laughed.
Pokemon, that is probably the first time Pokemon dialogue has gotten me like that. That was really good.
I was shocked by it. I'm like, yes.
Yeah.
Absolutely. I'm picking that option.
What else can I speak of this? So I haven't gotten across the story. You guys mentioned that it does tie in back to Area Zero at some point.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Okay, so the story is pretty worthwhile. I felt the story for the first DLC was kind of meh.
I was a little disappointed Briar didn't show up earlier in the DLC, but you know, whatever.
Yeah, Briar, he's such a magnificent castle, man. Yeah.
I feel like she should have greeted you when you got to Blueberry Academy or something, but...
Yeah, I don't know.
She feels underused in the first part of the DLC.
The two DLCs were like definitely planned together, obviously story wise, but I feel like it just wasn't stitched together as well as they could have been. I don't know. Like I'm not upset because I think what they tried to do is something very grand. Honestly, as a dungeon master in D&D, I'm very impressed with what they have accomplished in terms of the story. I'm very happy they were able to pull it off something that was this grand. I do think that I don't know. Like I really just enjoyed this Area Zero story. I want more of it. I don't know how they can do more of it, but I want more of it. Like, it was very good. Like, Pokemon story blew me away this gen, and I just want more. Like, if they can give me more Area Zero, I would love it.
Yeah, like, the characters knocked it out of the park this gen.
Oh, absolutely.
The story was such a step up, too, so.
Very chock full of personality. All in all, the characters are, yeah, among the best of any generation so far. Which, you know, it's half of Pokemon. People don't talk about the characters enough, I feel.
That's because oftentimes you talk to them once and then you're done with them. Like, they don't get personalities, and this game actually gives them.
Right, and the most famous characters that we can think of are the ones that just participate in the anime.
Or participate in the anime, which, of course, there's more...
No, you are so correct, though. You are so correct.
But this generation is not the case.
I also think, like, having the Elite Four in the Blueberry Academy be your peers worked better for it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, actually, I don't disagree.
Like, it was weird because Alola kind of tried to do that, but they weren't, like, the trial captains weren't active. They were passive.
They also just felt like kids. They just felt like kids. If that makes sense. Like, these guys don't feel like kids. It feels like high school.
And it feels exactly how we would do and how at least I would do in high school, where it was like, have your friends, do your own Elite Four team, have people compete against you. I did that when I was in high school. Like, you know, and it felt, they brought that back with this. It's like, yeah, this is what I used to do at school. I, you know, four of my friends would get together and we're like, we're the Elite Four. And then base our teams and stuff. So it definitely just felt more organic, as an experience instead of just having this be like an organization.
You are absolutely correct. You're absolutely correct. Well, yeah. Well, I think this is a good place to stop. I think we've gotten most of it out. I want to do a full review when we come back from Christmas when we've all played through it the whole way. Like, my first impressions are very, very positive. They're very positive. Also, a lot of my favorite Pokemon came back, so.
And I was skeptic. When I started and it started lag, I was like, I don't like this. But it really has.
I do feel bad for the monkeys, Furfro and Patrat. That's all I'm saying.
I feel bad for Furfro.
Hear me out. I also wouldn't be surprised if we got some kind of, like, Kalos game.
Because aren't they all in there?
I don't know about Patrat might be.
Pat Rad might not be. You're right.
No, let me look. Let me look. Because the monkeys certainly are.
I actually don't know. If it was or wasn't, I don't know.
I will tell you right now.
I know the monkeys. I know Purpro. I don't know Pat Rat.
Watchhog is available in X and Y. It's on Route 15 in X and Y. You can catch Watchhog. You cannot catch Pat Rat, but you can catch Watchhog.
So it's so late in the game, you would have never added it to your team. Got it.
But you can catch a Watchhog. I knew they put a lot of like the regional rodent. I mean, to be fair, X and Y still some of my favorite Pokemon games of all time.
It's really well designed. I agree.
It's very well designed, and the Dex is ginormous. Like the Dex compared to
the Dex is bigger than the modern regional Dex. So
like we get modernly like in Sword and Shield and Scarlet and Violet, we've gotten 400 for the base regional Dex, and X and Y was 450. Which, I mean, to be fair, a lot of that's like filled with fluff because I think it had almost every single regional rodent present in X and Y.
Mm-hmm.
I gotta find this Kalos regional Dex now. But it was insane. List, oh, I don't want list of Pokemon by national Dex number. I want list of Pokemon by Kalos number. it was just great. I hope we get, I would love some kind of Kalos love too. It's been a decade, you know, we could get it.
Mm-hmm.
By the way, before we do move on, I guess my last question would be, what are your is this it? Is this the end of our journey to in Paldea, or do you think there's more to come?
Probably not, because there's an epilogue chapter that needs to be released, but you know.
So that, yeah, there is in this code, there is a, this has been data mined, there is an epilogue chapter. It's probably going to be released kind of like the old mythical style.
I was going to say, I assume it's going to be a Pokemon Day drop, but you know.
Yeah, I assume on Pokemon Day, we're going to get something that's going to unlock the epilogue. That's my, but it does let you do some stuff. And I don't know if that's going to be the end of it either, to be fair. Like,
there might be more. I don't know, though. I don't know.
I haven't finished everything with Terapagos yet. So that might feel like there's like a good stamp and a conclusion there.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like I said, I'm all for just like more story.
Right.
All the time. So we'll see.
Right.
We will see. But yeah. All right. Yeah. So far, good things. Only good thing. Well, not only good things. Weirder guys.
Weirder.
But yeah, that is going to be it for our topic today. We're going to kick it on over then to our Pokemon of the episode. We will catch you guys on the flip flop.
Poke of the episode.
Welcome to our Pokemon of the episode. Our Pokemon of the episode is National Dex number 76. Golem, the Megaton Pokemon.
It fires rocks charged with electricity. Even if the rocks isn't fired that accurately, just grazing an opponent will cause numbness and fainting.
That's for Alolan Golem, specifically. Because that's who we're talking about today, because he's back, baby!
Yeah.
I'm actually really hyped that he's back. I love Alolan Golem. He decided to be a real gun, and I'm here for it. he was Dragapult before Dragapult, okay?
Yep.
Alolan Golem.
Fires Geodudes.
He fires Alolan Geodudes. He fires Alolan Geodudes out of his real gun, okay? So that's all that matters.
I mean, technically, Rhyperior was firing Geodudes too, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was. It was regular Geodudes. You were correct. But yeah,
Alolan they are Golem. Related, so you know.
Alolan Golem is a party.
It's a Gen 1 Pokemon.
It is a Gen 1 Pokemon that got a regional form. It has the exact same base stats, I believe, as Cantonian Golem, which means right. that it has a 120 attack, 130 defense, 80 HP, 55 special attack. Nobody cares about that. 65 special defense and 45 speed. But that doesn't mean you can't be in PU. So that's what we got for you today, a PU team with Alolan Golem, and some other things that are just like really weird that they're here.
Things we don't see often.
Yeah. Ever. Like a lot of these Pokemon, I'd be like, I haven't talked about you competitively in a very long time, with the exception of you, Ferrigarath.
And then you realize we're in PU and that's why.
So we do have an Alolan Golem on this team. It's holding a magnet. It's got the galvanize ability, which is great, actually. Terra type ice, and max attack, max speed, adamant nature, Alolan Golem coming right at you. with explosion, which Galvanize is going to turn into an electric type move. So you get stab explosion, body slam, yeah. Which Galvanize is also going to turn into an electric type move.
Yeah, well, it paralyzes. That's on theme.
Yeah, earthquake and Terra Blast. So you could Terra Blast. Oh my gosh, Galvanize would turn Terra Blast into an electric type move.
It's a special attack though.
It is
until you're Terra'd.
Yeah, yeah, it is a special attack, but it would turn it into an electric type move still. Yes. That is hilarious.
Until you Terra, then it's an ice type, I think.
And then talking about Pokemon you want a third type on, we've got Bombardier holding a choice scarf with the ability Rocky Payload, because then it just turns into Delmize. But it's flying rock and dark. Terra type is flying, so that you can get a little bit more out of the Brave Bird. Max attack, max speed once again, because we're in PU. Jolly Nature, you're going fast. You got Rock Slide, Parting Shot, Knock Off, and Brave Bird, all the stab, all over the place.
And Parting Shot. I didn't know it got Parting Shot. Good for it.
Yeah, I know. Isn't that great? Like, wow. I am amazed.
I didn't realize.
Huh. How are you in PU? Because nobody realized you have Parting Shot.
Poor thing. I mean, it's down here because it's a dark flying, and I bet Honchkrow is slightly better. But
Honchkrow is probably better, and then on top of that, like, Mandibuzz is back too now, so.
That is true. Ooh. Though, this is an offensive, Mandibuzz is defensive at least.
Mm-hmm.
Like, this is competing directly with Honchkrow.
Yeah.
And Honchkrow's cooler. People
yeah,
like
so
Honchkrow.
Somebody take another two of these guys.
I'll take
Cramorant here. With its little heavy-duty boots and its Gulp Missile ability, exclusive to the Mr. Cramorant, who likes to eat things like Aracuda and Pikachu.
Not weird at all.
So we have the Steel type for our Terra. Max Special Attack, Max Speed, Timid Nature. We're going to be Surfing because we need that for our ability to activate. We have Hurricane because that's our other attack. We have Roost, and then we have Defog, so we can manage hazards as we need to. So, yay. Pretty simple. It's a good, well, not good water type where we're down in PU. It's a water type that fell through the cracks. And then next up, we got Hisuian Sneasel with an Eviolite and the Pickpocket ability in case you get knocked off. I didn't know it got Pickpocket. Good for it. Dark Terra type to get back to our Sneasel roots. Max attack, max speed, Jolly Nature with Gunk Shot, Close Combat as your stab, Swords Dance, and Taunt as your other moves.
Then we have... Oh, go ahead.
Good times.
Good times indeed. And then we have one of the new Pokemon that I really love. Houndstone with Assault Vest. It has the ability Fluffy with a Terra type Dark. And it has max HP, max attack. With the adamant nature, it goes with Poltergeist, Shadow Sneak, Play Rough, and Crunch.
Mm-hmm.
We'll finish up this team with Long Neck Boy, Fudgetuff, with Leftovers, Armor Tail as his ability, Terra type Fire with max HP, max special attack, Quiet Nature. I don't know if the IS0 IVs are that important. It does say it's to specify zero attack and zero speed in IVs.
It has Trick Room, so like the low speed.
Ah, there it is. Yes.
Low
okay.
Speed attack and doesn't matter as much as people say it does.
Gotcha. And then we finalize with its attack, Dazzling Beam, Terra Blast, Nasty Plot, and Trick Room.
You know, that's probably the best Pokemon on this team, but it actually sees play in VGC.
For okay. Giraffe? Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, for a giraffe was the, probably, like, we're looking at this team of Pokemon, and like, I haven't seen any of these except for a giraffe. Like, that's the only one I think I've seen.
Houndstone saw some play with Last Respects back in the day, but you know, mm-hmm. then we got Basculegion, and that's just a better user for it, so it ain't,
yeah.
it doesn't see much anymore.
All right, well, that is the Pokemon of the episode. If you want to try the team, we'll throw it up on the Discord server for you guys. But other than that, we are going to kick it on over then to our mailbag.
It's mail time! Send in your emails!
Mail! Welcome to our mailbag. The mailbag is the part of the show where you can email us at pucklepodcast@gmail.com and let us know your thoughts. We asked you guys last week what you thought of the DLC so far, and you guys wrote in. That's going to be the mailbag question for the next episode as well. On top of, did you have a good holiday? What'd you get for that holiday? You know, I want to know. So, without further ado, this segment is brought to you by the fictional energy drink Green Tauros, the energy drink that gives you hooves.
Hooves.
We'll give you the Green Tauros badge if you write a great email or you spark joy or something like that. Without further ado, I want to hear what you guys have to say about the DLC so far. So our first email this week is going to come from Totes.
Yeah, I got this one. Season's greeting and happy holidays. Puckle peeps. Totes McRae here. First time writer in. I've been listening to the podcast for about half a year now after discovering Puckle's Poke Quiz and instantly falling in love. But anyways, on to the Indigo Disc. Yeah. Poke Quiz is fun. People love the Poke Quiz. I'm having a great time with the DLC so far. The double battles are a breath of fresh air. Strategy and my Pokemon in-game playthrough. And the Terrarium has been fun to explore. It's also great to see some Pokemon finally make it to the Switch. Congrats, Minior and Toucanon. Sorry, Pat, Rat, and Furfru. Maybe next time.
They're like the only ones. They're the only ones missing, which is so frustrating.
Yeah, no one cares about the monkeys. When the monkeys show up, maybe they'll get evolutions, second evolutions. They'll be real starters. My favorite part of the DLC has to be the music. Jumping in and hearing remix tunes from Black and White instantly put a huge smile on my face. The first battle of the DLC was one of those moments I'm sure many of us have had in a Pokemon game where I had to put the controller down and just vibe to the music for a little while. I've always said that Gen 5 has the best music in the series, followed closely by Gen 4. If you disagree, go to the Village Bridge Musician side quest in Black and White 2 and get back to me. My other favorite feature so far is the Synchro Machine. I wish the Synchro Machine was good, but I think it's cool. But the fact that you can find shinies in it, and one, you can kill them, and two, they probably despawn if you were too far away from where you are. Little awkward. There probably should have been a shiny lock on there. Though I will say I saw someone use Kyurem on the Synchro Machine, and Kyurem doesn't have swimming animations, so...
Yay!
It just walks, and if it's too deep of water, it sinks, and you just come back. Which is hilarious. He just chicken walks across the water. But simply due to the fact that we can be a Pokemon now. Clunkiness aside, there's something satisfying about gliding around as a Salamence and obliterating hordes of unsuspecting wild mons. But perhaps my enjoyment of this feature is simply coping due to the fact that we will never get a Pokemon Rumble game again. The first few games...
I'm okay with that.
I wish you could level up in Pokemon Rumble. I think that would have been better than just collecting new ones, but...
I think that every Pokemon game, even if it's a spinoff at this point, should have some sort of Pokemon Home compatibility. I think that if you don't have Pokemon Home capability, it's not nearly as fun.
Even if it's just like sending a gift Pokemon because you own the game.
Yeah, Pokemon Snap should just give you one, right?
It should just give you like a Zoroaura or a Xerneas or something like that with a special ribbon. Who knows? But the first few games were a masterpiece of mindless beat-em-up fun. But, as so happens to many games, the series was dragged to an early grave by greedy microtransactions. Rest in peace. Anyways, that's all I have for now. Can't wait to dive into the Indigo Disc over Christmas break and get lost in the Poke Magic. Hope everyone has fun with the DLC and has a wonderful holiday season. Until next time, Totes.
Thanks, Totes. We really appreciate that. All right. Well, I've got this next one from AkiCat. How do you do, Puckle Crew? This is my first time writing a letter to you guys, so it might be a bit long. It's actually like perfect length, actually. But thank you for the writing in. I've always wanted to, but I couldn't because I get busy often due to education. Then I'm done with my master's degree. I couldn't contain my excitement for Pokemon Scarlet, Violet, and Indigo Disc DLC. Well, congrats on the master's. I did one of those once. It was an accident. No, it's just the way they do physics PhDs. Like they just...
Yeah. He just found it on the Cracker Jack box.
Well, kind of, honestly. when you do a physics PhD, you typically go straight for the PhD from your bachelor's. But because of the way the education system's set up, like you have to get a master's to get your PhD. And so what you do is you get a master's en route, is what they call it. And so after like 2 years of being in school, they just give you a master's degree.
Oh, well, that's convenient. Yeah.
Yeah. So like after I was in grad school for 2 years, I had a master's degree and I was just like, oh, that's nice. It's also so like if you drop out of grad school, like you have something to show for it.
Right.
Because I would say only about 50% of people who go and try to do a PhD actually finish with a PhD. And that's not because it's hard or anything. It's just that people find out it's not for them, which is a very, very like legitimate option. But I digress. I have been a big fan of Scarlet and Violet's narrative, but not answers for Paradox Pokemon. But not having answers for Paradox Pokemon always got me in my head. There were multiple theories, Dream Theory being the most dominant discussion point, as there's no evidence for those Pokemon to exist in the past, as we know from ancient Cyclizar's fossilized footprint, which doesn't match Koridon or Maridon. However, that theory did not sit well with me, and I always thought of an alternate explanations, and the most prominent one in my head was that they are from alternate timelines instead, where the past Paradox are from the past that doesn't exist, and the future Paradox are from a future that will never come to pass. I kept that theory. I was very excited about Kieran and Carmine as well as the prospect of meeting more Unovan characters who could make a return later in a future Unova game. The battles were challenging for me, but the best part was the story of Kieran, who thought, finally, someone has an issue with the protagonist capturing mythical or legendary Pokemon and being able to do whatever they want. Because the world not reacting to your existence in any way was always my issue with the Pokemon game since I was a child. You would love D&D. I also love gym rematches, new character interactions in the game, and finally the introduction of non-legendary, non-mythical, and non-pseudo 600 base stat Pokemon.
No, he's pseudo. He's pseudo.
He is a pseudo. He is a pseudo. I was the most happy that it wasn't a mind control plot and satisfied with the conclusion, but that left me a lot of disappointment that we didn't get answers until I went into Kitakami's Crystal Pool, where meeting Professor Sada from the past and getting the most probable answer for the Paradox Pokemon being from an alternate timeline, and the reason why they thought they are called Paradox is because of you creating a bootstrap Paradox, which was a fun reveal, and I felt vindicated for my prior thoughts.
Mm-hmm.
I am still enjoying my time with the Indigo Disc and unlocking more stuff for me to sink my teeth into. This is now my favorite Pokemon experience, if I ignore the frame rate issues I have had while playing it. With love and apologies for the long email, AkiCat. Not a long email. Very reasonable length email, actually.
No. Very nice. Mm-hmm.
Very reasonable, actually. All right, our last email today is going to be from Scyther Sean.
Yes, and that'll be me. And he says, hello to all the Puckle crew. First time emailer. Hey, welcome. First of all, I want to say a massive thank you for all the amazing content you create. I've been listening for about 2 years now. Awesome. And you make my journey to work so much better every Monday morning. Hey, Monday morning podcasts are important in society. They really are.
Are they? Are they? We should switch to Tuesdays, maybe. Maybe we should do Tuesdays, you know?
No, you ruined the whole thing. People need their positivities on Mondays when they wake up and they have to go to work. Trust me.
I trust you of all people on that, actually, so...
I've been playing Pokemon since Gen 1, but like most, fell out of it in my teenage years, but came back in Sun and Moon, and since then been a shiny hunter. So my view on the DLC comes from the hunter point of view. First, the map and returning Pokemon, fantastic! Lots of different places with little caves to look in, and the Pokemon that have returned are great additions, I hope, in parentheses, to my shiny living decks. Second, the story. Without any spoilers, I have done half, then stop. I found out quickly that the legendaries are shiny locked, so not going to waste my time when I get all my sparkly friends straight from home. I'm really disappointed that there's no...
Do it for the battle music.
The battle music, yep.
The battle music is worth it.
I'm really disappointed that there's no legendary shiny hunting method and don't understand why Game Freak, Pokemon Company, don't want us to have them yet. If it's so, they can give us...
I think he meant distributions instead of distortions.
Yeah, I feel like they can give us them as distributions. I feel that's too easy. I like to work for my shiny legends, like sword resetting for the Regis, you know, which I got them all under 9,000, luckily. Do not know what that means. Third and final, please bring back shiny sounds and or sparkles. Some Pokemon are too small to see.
Yes.
I hard agree with this, actually. This is a fair, valid.
This is an accessibility thing.
This is a valid complaint.
It needs something.
And not that much different. I'm looking at you, Seal. Sorry for the long email. Not a long email. And thanks once again for the amazing content. Keep up the hard work. From across the pond, Scyther Sean.
Well, thank you for that. All right. Well, is there any of these you think we should give the Green Taurus Bash to? I really like DockyCat.
I was going to say, tis the season of giving, is it not?
It tis the season of giving. Give it all to them, because it doesn't matter, right? In 2 weeks?
All of them, yeah.
Give it to all of them, because, yeah, in 2 weeks it resets anyway, so who cares? we're off next week.
Yeah, we are off next week, unfortunately.
It's the season of giving. I'm okay with giving it all out.
Unfortunately, we're off next week, but Thash needs time to do the holidays and stuff. It's been a long year for me, too. Oh my gosh, I've done so much this year. I just want to relax. So we will be gone next week, but we will be right back at you on New Year's Day with another episode of the Puckle Podcast. If you want to keep up with us, though, over the holiday season, you can do so by going to our Discord at PuckleDiscord.com. You can follow us on social media at Twitter, Facebook, Instagram. Of course, you can always go ahead and follow us at YouTube at YouTube.com/PucklePodcast. And I will be back on Twitch because I no longer have the virus TM.
In the new year.
And I can actually focus on Twitch again. So we will be doing that starting probably January 3rd. Unfortunate. There may also just be like a random extra stream on the 29th of December because that will be Home Alone and bored.
That's fair.
And
that's actually fair.
great reason.
100% fair for that one.
I also bought a couch for my office and I want to stream from my couch. I want to see what that experience is like. So we will do that. I think that's everything I really wanted to hit on. But of course, you can always help support the show by going to trollandtoad.com and getting addicted to cardboard like myself. You can buy your TCG products over there. Paul Dan Fates is coming out soon, so you can buy it from over there. Additionally, if you use code PucklePod5 at checkout, you can get 5% off over there. And a little bit comes back to us. Additionally, you can also go ahead and help us out over at Patreon at patreon.com/PucklePodcast. It will be changing at the new year. We will be having a shirt for patrons that are at a certain level for 3 months. So definitely check that out. A lot of products are going to be over there before they're ever available to the public, if ever available to the public. Mostly because running online stores is really frustrating and annoying, and I hate doing it. So we will see how that goes. But yeah, Patreon will do that. I believe we're going to do 4 items next year, and I know the first 2 of them are a t-shirt and a new Puckle TCG playmat / desk mat for those of you who don't play the TCG but want to use something for maybe their keyboard at their desk. Help us out. We really appreciate the support, but the number one thing you can do is just listen to the show. We really just like hanging out with you guys and doing everything.
And that is free.
That is free. I guess I have been Trainer Thatch.
Some say I've been just Shiro.
And I've been R Sigma.
And here in the Lavender Town Radio Tower, it's closing time.
Merry Christmas and happy holidays, everyone!
Yay! We'll be right back.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.